The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents.
We love the earth.
Normal Show Live. Marijuana Nation. Now, here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator, Radical Russ Belvin.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the weekend. It is Friday, September 24th, 2010, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Welcome to the next 60 minutes of news, talk, interviews, information, music, comedy, and more by, for, and about the cannabis community. We're coming to you live from Rolla J Studios here in beautiful Potland, Oregon, where it is officially autumn. I can tell by the wetness in the air. And joining us here on my left, Dos Ojos himself, the no longer pirate, Ganja John.
Hey, hey, hey. I could still be a pirate. I've not given up the patch completely.
Oh, okay.
This eye can come out. But yes, I have two eyes.
Yeah, let's go over here to Cam 2 here. We can see the beautiful Ganja John.
Two eyes.
He's now got two eyes and only a slight Lawrence Fishburne effect.
A little bit.
But it's not like the Sammy Davis in the old days.
No. This lower lid is atrophied, and he said it's gonna strengthen back up over the next couple days.
That is so cool. We're so glad to have you back. And let me get a picture of the eye. We actually have a picture. We have a photo of El Ojo.
For those who haven't seen this,
This is pretty cool.
This is awesome. I had a really good ocularist, and he was a former pothead, so he put a little pot leaf on there.
Yeah, so right there you can see the pot leaf on the bottom edge. Is that the bottom edge?
It is the top. It shows where the top is. You put that under the upper eyelid, so
it knows.
I've gotten pretty good at taking this thing in and out.
I won't do it on the cam today.
I won't do it on the cam today, but eventually you will see that.
Oh, wow. Thanks, Ganja John, for fascinating prosthetic.
Hey, and thank you for everybody out there who sent me nice notes and everything. It does feel like I'm getting like a new car, but more.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
Also joining us for our virtual studio in Astoria, Oregon, where they'll soon be having the bridge walk, my friend Cannabis Carrie.
Hello. Happy Friday, everyone.
Happy Friday, Carrie. Hey, when is that bridge walk, by the way?
It's next Saturday. We have for people that don't know, I live right on the edge of the Oregon-Washington border, which is divided by the Great Columbia River. And there is a 4.1-mile bridge that spans across the river where I live. And they don't let people ride their bikes or hitchhike or walk across it. But one day a year, they shut it down for a 10K run and fun walk. And I'm going to be doing that with a group of people wearing our Normal shirts very proudly.
That's right. Normal will be representing as we cross the Washington-Oregon border and the mighty Columbia River, where Lewis and Clark wintered during their explorations, right?
That's right.
I always like to bring that up.
Over 100 years ago.
Yeah, Carrie gets upset because everybody comes to Astoria and they want to see the Goonies house. And she goes, do you know how much history there is out here?
It's true. You know, I still to this day, I cannot believe that the entire Lewis and Clark saga has not been made into a big blockbuster action movie. So, Hollywood, what's your problem?
Starring Ben Affleck and Matt Damon.
Yeah,
<That's>
really.
Right.
Hey, also this weekend, in case the introduction didn't give it away, Boise State, number three in the nation.
Beat the crap out of some beavers.
Gonna paste the beavers on the blue, and we'll be enjoying it from the USA Cannabis Cafe. It's on the ESPN Live, so
we're so there.
We're gonna watch it at the cafe, and I'm gonna bring the little laptop, so we might just pipe in some of the stream on normal show
Bong
live
hits
stream.
And football, baby.
Bong hits and football. You betcha. Well, Carrie brings us our news headlines right after the first break. So, what do we got on tap today, Carrie?
Well, you know, as election cycle is gearing up, more and more candidates all over the country are having to answer the question, how do they feel about marijuana legalization? We're going to talk about some East Coast candidates that got into that on Wednesday night's debate. We're also going to go to a sad story of a California patient who went home to visit last Christmas and is paying a hefty price. But first up, we're going to go over those Nevada raids that happened a couple of weeks ago. There's some more fallout from that debacle.
All right. Great stuff coming up on today's Normal Show Live. Also, our Rockin' Friday tune, Eric Smokesbud, will be bringing us a song from a group called Soul Coughing.
And I'd like to congratulate him on getting in touch with a record company so you guys could download that.
Yeah, that's so awesome. It's a fairly well-known band, I understand.
Yeah.
Also, today is like High Times Friday because we're going to go with Dave Bienenstock, the West Coast editor of High Times Magazine. He's going to be talking about the Medical Marijuana Quarterly that they have, and we'll get you more information on that. And then at the right after Dave, we're going to talk with Danny Danko, High Times Senior Cultivation Editor, taking your live questions from the chat room and from our call-in number on marijuana cultivation. All that and more coming up, and in hour two, some more on Prop 19. We're right back after this.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation. Now, a message from former President George W. Bush to remind the American people of our responsibility in our nation's war on certain American citizens using non-pharmaceutical, non-alcoholic, tobacco-free drugs.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
That's right, America, use less drugs. Put down the Prozac, the Vioxx, and the Levitra, and turn to the herb. Use less drugs. Our national policy is no longer just say no. It's now just slow down.
You get me too high. I overanalyze. If you've ever been too high, then you can sympathize. You get me too high. I've said some silly thing, and that's the reason why.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carrie.
During a Clark County Commissioner meeting held in Las Vegas, Nevada last Tuesday, a group of people attended to address the county commissioners to respond to the recent dispensary raids in their city. Now, 2 weeks ago, U.S. Drug Enforcement agents, along with a Metro Police SWAT team, raided at least 5 and as many as 10 medical marijuana dispensaries in Las Vegas. Patient and financial records were seized, but no arrests were made. One of the owners whose business was raided said the agents left behind all of their medical marijuana, but took instead a PlayStation 3, a Wii game console, and an iPod. Now, I spoke with a volunteer at Nature's Way, one of the raided dispensaries, who said that they served her a search warrant, took things like cases of bottled water, and even a frozen package of corn dogs out of the freezer. She said they believed all of their food was medicated, even though she assured them it was not. They also took all the logbooks and some personal notebooks of staff members. Nature's Way has remained open with very little meds and items for sale and is mainly trying to help patients find meds from other dispensaries at this point. The mayor of Las Vegas, Oscar Goodman, has already come out and said publicly that allowing dispensaries in Las Vegas was a legitimate goal so that patients who are allowed to have medical marijuana have a place where they can get it. The mayor has also asked his staff to do research for him and set up a meeting with federal and state representatives about the legality of the dispensaries. He has said publicly he condemns the force that was used to conduct the raids. Now, that sentiment was also voiced at the commissioner meeting on Tuesday. Commissioner Chris Guglielmini, who served in the assembly and championed the current medical marijuana law, which passed in 2001, said the raids were heavy-handed. Quote, why can't they just set up a meeting and talk to them and do it more safely? Unquote. Michael McAuliffe, whose volunteers at one of the raided dispensaries was present during the raids, spoke to the commissioner on on the group's behalf, holding up broken security camera equipment that he said Metro officers destroyed during the raid on the Nevada Compassion Center. Another volunteer at the clinic said officers told her that they destroyed the camera equipment so their identities would not be released to the public. The funny thing, she said, was that they all wore ski masks and sunglasses, so no one could see them anyway. Since no one was actually charged in the raids and the search warrants have now all been sealed by the courts, no one is even sure why the raids were conducted. There were no cease and desist orders given that day. The group of mostly patients who attended the commissioner's meeting said that they plan on filing several motions against the police department over the incident.
They stole their munchies, Russ.
He stole the munchies. Because obviously the bottled water.
Medicated water.
That came in probably a pallet load from, I don't know, the local Costco. Probably already covered in the shrink wrap plastic with the bottle caps that are sealed, you know, against tampering. They probably took hypodermic needles and injected the evil weed into it.
Yeah. Bong water.
God. Jeez. No, it's just so patently obvious that it has nothing to do with enforcing the law. It has to do with these guys going on a smash and grab operation to try to intimidate people. This is no better than what the mafia does. You got a nice business here. It'd be a shame if anything should happen to it. That's exactly what's going on here. They go in and raid these guys knowing they can't get any jury to convict, that they can't get any of the evidence they need to really prove any crimes, but they go smash up the place so it makes it hard for the operator to reopen, or they take their stuff, or you know, this is exactly what it's all about. It's about intimidation. It's about cops who just don't like the law. And it always blows me away when we're talking about Las Vegas, that as a person above the age of 21, I could walk down the street in Las Vegas into a casino, sit down in front of a few tables, have free alcohol of various proofs brought to me, drink to my heart's content, go wager, you know, $10,000-$20,000 on a UFC fight with two guys brutally beating the hell out of each other, take that money, go across the county line, go visit a prostitute. All of that would be completely legal, walking down the road with a couple of drinks in my hand, no problem. But God forbid a patient should happen to get some marijuana in an adults-only store where it's all controlled and there's security cameras. How ridiculous is that?
As the election cycle gears up, candidates all over the nation have been asked to take a stance on not just medical marijuana, but legalizing marijuana altogether. On Wednesday night, Massachusetts State Senate candidates squared off in a televised debate, and marijuana came up a number of times. During Wednesday's debate, both Clark and Spadafora were asked how they would vote on legalizing marijuana. Spadafora said he would vote to legalize marijuana, quote, not for the tax, saying the problem is we're overcrowding our prison with nonviolent offenders. Clark responded saying she would not vote for legalizing marijuana, although she said she might consider carving out an exception for medicinal use. She said the state should look at its mandatory minimum sentences for marijuana and put money toward diversion and other programs, quote, so we're not paying $56,000 a year to lock up a person whose problem is addiction. Now, in a follow-up question, the Democrat Clark asked the Republican candidate Spadafora if he was in favor of legalizing marijuana, why he would not want to tax it. After first saying that he originally said he thought the state would tax it, after more prodding, Spadafora said flatly, quote, I would not support a tax on marijuana, unquote. Those comments were sent out via a press release by Clark's camp on Thursday, with comments from the Melrose and Wakefield police chiefs condemning Spadafora's stance. Clark cited her former work as a prosecutor, where she saw the crisis of funding alongside with drug and alcohol problems in local communities. She attacked both Spadafora's support of legalization and his stance against taxing it to raise funds for public safety. She called his message dangerous and said that it sends the wrong message to the children and teens of Massachusetts communities. Now, this morning, Spadafora issued a statement in response to Clark's press release, saying an overwhelming majority of voters, 65% in the state, approved a ballot initiative to decriminalize possession of small amounts of marijuana. He said decriminalization, quote, proposed over $30 million in annual savings for taxpayers by freeing up police force to focus on more serious crimes, unquote, implying the money would come from the savings of decriminalizing or legalizing, not a new stream of tax revenue. He also said that recent polls suggest 70% of Massachusetts residents either favor decriminalization or legalization of marijuana, pointing out that his views regarding marijuana policy align with the majority of the taxpayers. He says marijuana is not a campaign platform of his, and he does not intend to be an outspoken advocate for legalization if elected. He accuses his opponent of trying to deflect the focus of the debate away from the real issues of job creation and tax reduction.
Well, real issues. You want to create some jobs, legalize marijuana. But look, we're talking about the state of Massachusetts here, where, as mentioned in the story, two out of three people approved decriminalization, where the latest poll I've seen, there's 81% support for medical marijuana. And do y'all remember me maybe two or three times on this show warning Democrats that if they're not careful, the Republicans are going to turn to the marijuana legalization issue as the way to attract a new, younger, more upscale base to replace, you know, their aging base that is naturally dying away? Well, here we have the direct proof of that. The Republican Spadafora saying yes to legalization, saying no to taxing the legal marijuana, while the Democrat here is saying no to marijuana legalization and only maybe to medical, something that's supported by 81% of the constituents there in Massachusetts. And furthermore, as a prosecutor, she brings up the whole thing of, you know, we're overcrowding our prisons. We need to have more diversion to treat addiction. It's not an addiction you need to treat. There's no addiction here that we're talking about. 9% of the people that use marijuana regularly will develop some sort of dependence, not addiction, dependence. For the other 91% of us, we're just average, normal people. We work, we go to school, we raise our kids, we pay our taxes. You're trying to come up with a solution for a problem that doesn't exist. We don't need diversion. We don't need arrests. We just need to be treated like the adults we are.
A California man and legal medical marijuana patient from his state of California went back home for the holidays to Alabama last December, is now facing 10 years in prison for 1 gram of cannabis. Michael Lapahuska, who suffers from post-traumatic stress disorder, grew up in Alabama, but he left the state in 2003 after serving 13 months for possessing 5 grams of marijuana. He was arrested on marijuana possession charges again on December 15th of last year when he was home visiting his family for Christmas. He was stopped by a police officer who accused the man of illegal hitchhiking as he was walking down a road. The officer demanded to search him and he complied. The police officer found a prescription bottle containing 1 gram of medical marijuana, along with his California patient ID card. Lapahuska, who was charged with his third marijuana possession offense in the state, that is punishable by 2 to 10 years in a state prison under Alabama law. His public defender is urging him to cop a plea in which he would be sentenced to 1 year suspended with 2 years probation. But the plea bargain also includes drug testing, which is a deal breaker for the medical marijuana patient. He says that those urging him to take the probation don't understand that he would end up in prison anyway for failing a drug test. Lapahuska feels there is no way he will win his case in Anniston, Alabama, but contends that his doctor recommended the medicine he has found helpful. Quote, if I was prescribed Oxycontin or morphine or Xanax and I was walking down the road, they would have had to give my medicine back. I broke the law, but I think the law is wrong. I'm looking at 2 to 10 years for a gram of marijuana prescribed by my doctor, unquote. He was unable to leave Alabama for the 10 months while awaiting his trial, saying he has been miserable and anxious and just wanting to go someplace where his medicine is safe and legal and he is not at risk for using the medicine he has found works best for him. Now, in addition to being in trouble 3 times for marijuana in Alabama, he has also been hospitalized for mental health issues 20 or 30 times in his life. He says because of his mental health history, he has been on medications most of his life, Xanax, Thorazine, and even anti-Parkinson's disease medicine that he was told he would have to take for the rest of his life. While on other medications, he often slept over 16 hours a day and was shaking during all the times he was awake. He says when he was finally allowed to take marijuana, he felt better than ever. And he was riding his bicycle over 50 miles a day, in fact. Now he laments they have gone and arrested him for the medicine that he has found cures him. He is scheduled to go on trial October 28th, but has to stay in the state until that time.
What a sad story. And let's just illustrate here. People of Alabama, this is what you're intending to put a man in prison for 10 years for. Let me focus out a little bit. This is about a gram of marijuana right there. That is why you want to take away a man's freedom and severely injure him and cause him great mental distress because he won't be able to use medical marijuana in prison. Meanwhile, about 500,000 people in 14 medical marijuana states will use about this much medical marijuana today each, completely legally, under the recommendation of their doctor. If this doesn't illustrate exactly why we need to legalize marijuana, why medical does not go far enough, why it continues to treat patients as second-class citizens, this story is the perfect illustration. He's all protected in California, but if he wants to visit, if he wants to travel, if he wants to have the right to move as guaranteed in our Constitution, he can't do that because he's facing 10 years in prison. Legalize now. Vote yes on 19.
Well, Russ and I are going to smoke about 10 years of prison.
Yeah.
Prison's worth of pot.
Pot, yeah. Oh, my God. Roll Tide, I guess, but let's legalize.
Go Beavs.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Normal Show Live reminds you to never smoke and drive impaired. Hang out for a while and share.
All my friends know the low rider.
This is Normal Show Live.
The low rider is a little higher.
It's time for your daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Today, we take you into the weekend with Rockin' Friday. Our segment features the best of rock, metal, punk, and jam band music, brought to you by Eric Smokes Bud in Madison, Wisconsin. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now here's some more great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tunes.
Known as one of the most unique cult bands of the 1990s, Soul Coughing anchored a new crop of quirky, unclassifiable bands that emerged in the post-grunge era, including Morphine, The L's, and Cake. Driven by frontman M. Doty's stream of consciousness poetry, Soul Coughing's sound was a mix of improvisational jazz groups, oddball samples, hip-hop, electronics, and noisy experimentalism, described by Doty as deep slacker jazz. Even at the height of the alternative rock era, it was too avant-garde to cross over into the mainstream, yet their ironic sense of humor and stylized bohemian hipster image made them accessible enough to earn a widespread, enthusiastic following on college campuses. Moreover, they built a reputation as an excellent live act, thanks to a jazz aesthetic that kept their concert performances fresh and spontaneous, not to mention a liberal policy of fans trading tapes. After recording three albums, the group split up in March of 2000, and Mike Doty started a solo career. Today's selection is from a collection of live performances released by Kufala Recordings in 2004. The Woolly Imbibe can be found on the Renaissance France album, which was recorded in December of 1994 at the prestigious Trans Musicales Festival, and was Soul Coughing's first gig outside of the United States. Here is Soul Coughing with the Woolly Imbibe.
Y'all heard it, baby. Fiberglass tube, still on a buds, you're generating revenue, some fool move. Apples like a lizard on a dead branch, waiting for the lawyer to call you stone. Going for the lawyer to call Las Vegas, waiting for the lawyer to call New Buick, waiting for the lawyer to call Nevada.
Copy of that song for your iPod? Check out the Daily Toker Tunes at the Stash blog by surfing to stash.normal.org and choosing media and then Toker Tunes from the main menu.
It only comes twice a day, but I don't care. It's 420 somewhere.
All right, time to take a look at Normal's Cannabis Community Calendar, which you can find at normal.org/calendar. Tomorrow, Saturday afternoon, is the Oregon Normal Medical Marijuana Cardholders Meeting. It takes place at the world-famous Cannabis Cafe at 322 Southeast 82nd Avenue in Portland, Oregon. It is open only to members of Oregon Normal who are Oregon Medical Marijuana Program patients. You can join Oregon Normal at the door. There will be starter clones available and small amounts of medicine as donated to Oregon Normal for distribution to patients in need. You'll want to get there at about 10 a.m., maybe 11 a.m. at the latest. Doors open at 11 and we start the processing. Meeting begins at noon. I will be streaming the meeting from the Cannabis Cafe, so check out Normal Show Live's feed on StickAm if you'd like to see what's happening with the largest Normal chapter on the planet. Also taking place tomorrow, Saturday, September 25th, the Ken Gorman Memorial Rally at the west steps of the Colorado Capitol in Denver, Colorado. Ken Gorman was a beloved figure in the Colorado marijuana community when he was murdered over 3 years ago, and the police have to date made no arrest in the case. But We will not forget Ken Gorman. Join the folks at the Colorado Capitol on Saturday. Sunday, the Willie Street Fair is concluding, and more information on that on the calendar. Also, Johnson County Normal in Kansas, Joco Normal, one of our newest chapters, is having one of their first public meetings at the Black Dog Coffee House. This is on West 87th Street Parkway in Lenexa, Kansas. For more information, check out our calendar, normal.org/calendar. For more information on all of these events, or to get your events listed on Normal's Cannabis Community Calendar, you can contact me, Russ@normal.org, and check out the calendar online at normal.org/calendar.
Starfish Designs, makers of the original Gandalf.
I'm Radical Russ, and when I want to relax, I always have my 17-inch long original Gandalf from Starfish Designs nearby. The hand-blown borosilicate glass is strong and easy to clean, and the design is sleek and sophisticated. Starfish Designs are available from Bend, Oregon at a glass retailer near you. For locations, call 541-788-GLASS. That's 541-788-4527.
If I were to tell you that in America, right now, over 1 million children sell marijuana, what would you think? Would you think that any public policy that creates over 1 million teenage marijuana dealers needs to be re-examined and possibly amended? You would not be alone. The members of the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, aka NORML, have been working since 1970 to reform marijuana laws such that responsible adults, not children, sell and use marijuana. Isn't it high time to reform America's misguided marijuana laws? This is Alan St. Pierre, Executive Director of NORML in Washington, D.C. Only concerned citizens can effectively end the federal government's nearly 70-year-old prohibition on responsible adult marijuana sales and use. Want to know more about how you can help? Contact us at NORML, toll-free, 888-67-NORMAL, or by visiting the organization's popular and informative webpage at NORML, NORML.org.
Since 1970, NORML has been fighting for the rights of all adults who use cannabis responsibly. Since 1974, High Times Magazine has been the chronicle of the cannabis community. Every second Friday of the month, we bring that working relationship to the NORML Daily Audio Stash with our special guest, Senior Editor Dave Bienenstock, author of the official High Times Pot Smokers Handbook, for our exclusive monthly preview of this month's issue of High Times. Welcome back, everyone. 31 after the hour, and we are joining up with Dave Bienenstock, the West Coast editor of High Times Magazine. Let's bring up the Skype feed there so that you can hear us. Hey, Dave, can you hear us okay there?
Oh, we got nothing.
I got nothing. Hello, Dave, are you there?
Oh, hey, how's it going? I'm just finishing something up over here.
Hey, no problem. You know, I mentioned on the intro says it's the second Friday that we do this, but we're catching up with you on the fourth Friday because we, of course, we're busy with the NORML conference. And so wanted to give you the opportunity to let folks know what's going on in the upcoming issues of High Times and even more specifically, the High Times Medical Marijuana Quarterly. So let's start with High Times and then we'll go to the Quarterly.
Oh, okay, well, the new November issue is I think, a very exciting one for no small reason. Then I have a few features in there, one of which is, you know, what's on everybody's mind is Prop 19. Yeah. In California, and I have an in-depth feature on Prop 19. I spoke with Richard Lee, obviously, extensively. I spoke with some of the people who are opposed to Prop 19, and I spoke to a lot of people who are in the middle or are wondering what Prop 19 is going to mean for them, and really tried to bring as much clarity to the issue as I can, and you know, how it's going to affect everybody from people who work in medical marijuana in Oakland, to growers in Humboldt, to patients, to people who are just not patients but dying to smoke some legal pot. So it's going to be our big in-depth feature before the election, and that's on newsstands now. And in the same issue, I have an interview with Gary Johnson, who was obviously just up at the NORML conference in Portland, and what a fantastic addition he was to that event. And he can't say it, but I can. He's going to run for president, and it's going to be on a legalized pot is going to be a prominent part of his platform. And as a two-term successful Republican governor, he brings a lot to the table, and it's great to have him representing us in that debate.
Absolutely. You know, the whole Gary Johnson thing just further illustrates something I was talking about in a story during our news here, is that, you know, for a long time, the issue of marijuana and legalization, and you've been covering it High Times for, you know, 30 years now or so, 35 years, has been portrayed as a liberal hippie. You know, the Democrats were painted as the party of acid amnesty and abortion, you know, is always portrayed as a liberal thing. But now it seems that more conservatives, more libertarian-leading conservatives, are actually leading the charge on legalization.
I think that the line has, you know, we've always had people like William F. Buckley, who was one of the leading conservatives of his day, who was out front on this issue. It's really an issue that divides bullshit from not bullshit. You know what I mean? Liars from truth tellers. It's not an ideological thing. I really think that anyone who with an open mind looks at the issue will come to the same conclusion that you've come to and that I've come to. This is an obvious, you know, so it's so many of society's problems and life's problems are difficult to deal with and intractable problems, and this is the one where we're creating the problem. So by simply getting out of the way of the solution, that's the way to move forward. But Gary, as you said, Gary Johnson is a great representative for us on this cause, and we're lucky to have him being so outspoken.
Yeah, and on the
and
other,
someday I'll say I interviewed the president for High Times, and I don't believe anybody can say that.
So, maybe the first person in history who could ever have said that. You know, I'm putting in my little resume here that I partied with the future president at the Red Lion. It was a lot of fun. So let's talk now about the High Times Medical Magazine, because this has been out for a while and want to get some attention to it. Tell us what's going on with that magazine right now.
I'm really excited about it. It's called High Times Medical Marijuana News and Reviews. It's a quarterly, so it comes out four times a year. Our third issue is on the newsstands now. And, you know, as the title strongly implies, this is a magazine that's geared toward medical marijuana patients and providers, whether that's a grower or somebody who is a caretaker or in a dispensary, or and doctors, too. But it's a new project for us. It's something that I've been working on a lot, and I've just been really excited about what we've been able to cover and who we've been able to get to contribute. Our regular columnists include Valerie Corral from WAM, Debbie Goldsberry from Berkeley Patients Group, Steve D'Angelo from Harborside Health Center. We have a column from Americans for Safe Access, Paul Armentano, who is the voice of normal, in addition to yourself, has been a frequent contributor. And so it's just, and it's been fantastic to, you know, we understand that, you know, this is a new audience for High Times. And so it's great to have a lot, one place where people who are really interested in this subject can learn more. I'm looking through the current issue. We have a big feature about the federal medical marijuana facility at the University of Mississippi, which is the only place that legally, federally grown marijuana exists. And as sort of a companion piece, and another guy who was at the Normal convention this year, Herb Rosenfeld, we have a feature on him. Most people know Herb best for his cans, when one was auctioned off this year at the Normal convention as usual. And it's the can that he receives 300 joints. You paid for them if you're an American taxpayer, that are mailed to him from the federal government, the same federal government that says marijuana is not a medicine and has no use, has been supplying Herb Rosenfeld and a few other people 300 joints a month for many years. So it's a really interesting story.
Is that the is that the one that Robert Platschorn wrote that article? Isn't that right? With On Earth?
Yes, it's actually written by the legendary Black Tuna, who is loves to point out the irony that right around the time he went to prison for 30 years for supplying people with marijuana, is right around the exact same point almost that Irv Rosenfeld began getting his supply of marijuana from the federal government.
Wow.
So an interesting story there, and great to, you know, those two guys have become close friends, I think, since then, and frequent traveling companions. So
how can people pick up a copy of the Medical Marijuana Mag? Is it only available in medical marijuana states?
It is available in almost every state, and I would say bookstores like Barnes & Noble, give them a call, see if they have it. I'd say wherever you get your High Times, start there. If they don't have it, ask them why not, and inform them, and let them know. But it's most places High Times can be found. It's definitely in your Barnes & Noble, and please, you know, you can go to hightimes.com/medmj for more information. But please, if you have trouble finding it, ask whoever is selling your High Times to please stock it for you.
It is not carried at 7-Eleven, Bean. I found that out the hard way.
Not 7-Eleven, huh?
Yeah. They carry High Times, but no High Times medical marijuana.
So you say this is the third issue that you guys have put out now?
Yeah, so and we've been growing the circulation with every issue. So if you haven't seen it yet, it will be coming to I don't know about your specific 7-Eleven, but the circulation has been growing, and that's because we've been just getting a great response from readers who have I think been waiting for a magazine like this.
All right.
Just to round out the features in the issue, we have a feature interview with Valerie Corral from Wham. We have a look at the Mendocino medical marijuana program that will allow you to grow 99 plants. And we have a kind of a consumer report style look at vaporizers, which medical patients are always interested in.
Oh, all right. I'll be looking forward to that one myself. All right. So, Dave Bienenstock, when is the next issue coming out? When is your next quarterly publication?
The next quarterly will be, I think, on newsstands like December 1st. So that's a nice thing about the quarterly, and I feel good about putting so much work into each issue. Is it does stick around for a little while, and so we really try to bring the kind of quality that can last for a few months on the newsstand. So the current issue is there to be found, and we have a new one that I'm putting the finishing touches on right now.
All right. Looking forward to it. Thank you, Dave Bienenstock, West Coast editor of High Times Magazine, and we'll talk to you again next month.
Oh, thanks so much, Rush, and thanks for all your work for Normal.
Hey, no problem. It's a High Times Friday today. We're coming back after the break with Danny Danko and your live questions on marijuana cultivation in our Cultivator's Corner. It's Normal Show Live. Stick around.
Hey, this is Willie Nelson for Normal. And if you're one of the 26 million Americans who smoked marijuana last year, you need to get involved in the drive to legalize marijuana. We need your help to stop the senseless arrests of more than 800,000 Americans each year on marijuana charges. Together, we can end marijuana prohibition and stop the arrests of marijuana smokers. To learn what you can do to help, contact Normal at NORNL.org. Our call toll-free, 888-67-NORMAL.
Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back after a word from these 420 friendly sponsors. Wait a minute. This is internet radio. There are no dials here. The voiceover guy. Ask High Times Senior Cultivation Editor Danny Danko in our Normal Show Live's Cultivator's Corner.
Welcome back, everyone. 43 after the hour. Let's bring Skype up here. I'm hoping we got Danny Danko on the line. We're trying to get in touch with him at his offices in New York. Danny, are you there?
I am here, but it sounds a little choppy to me.
We'll see if we can fix that on our end. Maybe we've got some sort of issue going on with a download or something, but I hope you can hear me well enough for us for the segment.
Yes.
Okay, so Danny Danko is the Senior Cultivation Editor at High Times Magazine, and I understand you've got a new book coming out, so I want you to tell everyone all about it so they can get their copy.
Yeah, absolutely. I just finished it. It's off to the printer now, and it's the High Times Field Guide to Marijuana Strains. Basically, it took about 130 or so different Cannabis Cup winners and top 10 strain award winners and various strains that people should know and love, and, you know, made a kind of a compendium so that as many as I could find, you know, to write up, I would find, and then wrote up, you know, the flowering times, the smells, the odors, the growing characteristics, the medicinal properties, and, yeah, it's been a lot of fun, and I'm looking forward to doing some book signings and stuff as well.
All right. And what was the hardest part for you about trying to put this book together?
Well, you know, I guess the hardest part is to describe, you know, to use different words in the descriptions, because a lot of, you know, a lot of strains have very similar profiles, whether they be indica dominant or sativa dominant. But so you really have to dive a little deeper and get into the odors, the effects, the flowering times, and just, you know, really try them over and over. There was a lot of research going on.
I'll bet there was. All right. Well, of course, here on our Cultivator's Corner, we take questions from our chatters in the chat room, and we take live questions. I got to turn my Skype on so people can call me, but we also take live questions at 971-533-7111. Let's start with this anonymous question who wants to know, how should you deal with outdoor bud that has dirt blown on it?
Outdoor bud with dirt blown on it. If it's before you harvest, you should be able to maybe shake some of that stuff off. I mean, the buds are quite sticky, and if dirt does get on them, that can be a problem. That's an interesting question. I really don't know what you would do aside from, you know, something drastic, I guess.
I use an electric leaf blower on my outdoor plants from, like, standing, like, you know, 10 feet away. It kind of blows.
Yeah, you could use something like that. That'll blow a lot of the dirt off. That's not, you know, that's stuck to leaves and stuff. But dirt that's stuck to trichomes, I don't know. Maybe a vacuum cleaner on the lowest setting or something to try to really suck it out of there. Best thing is try not to get dirt on the buds to begin with.
Yeah, I guess so. Okay. let's get another question here. Oh, they've got a kind of an update to the question because they're listening in here live. More specifically, what should you do if it is harvest ready and therefore sticky? So, yeah, I guess you kind of, you know, got that point, which was,
right.
You know, if it's sticky, I don't know what you can really do to it if the dirt's sticking to it.
Smoke that dirt.
Arctic Bob said smoke the dirt.
Yeah, exactly.
So, there we go. Okay.
You know, God made dirt and dirt won't hurt.
So. Okay. There we go. All right. More questions coming in here on the chat room. They love it when you come here, Danny. Let's see. NorCal Perps wants to know, in an ebb and flow system, how long before harvest should I stop nutrient feedings, and when should I stop using a carbohydrate supplement such as sweet?
Okay, that's an interesting question. I think sweet and the carbo supplements are best used, I would say, from like week 4 or 5 to about week 7 or 8, typically, unless it's an 8 or 9 week strain, and in which case I would say week 4 of flowering to maybe week 6 of flowering. Mm-hmm. And ebb and flow system, I would use it's different with different strains because they have different flowering times, but working your way backwards from the harvest date, I would say at least a week and a half of plain water and maybe a week before that of a milder flowering solution using the sweet and some regular somewhat milder than you would use during the heat of flowering period, like the 3rd to the 6th week. and go with something a little bit, you know, half strength, and then plain water for the last week and a half to 2 weeks to flush it out.
Mm, okay, great. We've got a caller calling in on the line from the 828 area code. So 828, you're on the line with Danny Danko. What's your cultivation question?
I'm actually wondering about cultivation on if you use the plant entirely or you just take the buds and let the plants redo the buds.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that quite.
Can you rephrase your question again? Try your question again there. Rephrase it a bit for him.
Okay, I'm asking for cultivation if when the plant is done with its gestation, if you just use the buds to the plants, or you can use the whole plant and just, you know, replant a new one.
Hmm. Well, you can't replant the whole plant. You have to plant either a seed or a clone, and then you go through the vegetative stage where the plant is just growing new branches and leaves and no flowers, and then the flowering stage is where either if you're growing outdoors, it starts in the fall, and if you're growing indoors, you control that by cutting the light cycle, and then the plant begins to flower. If I understand your question correctly, you can harvest buds from a plant and then regenerate it, meaning put it back into the vegetative stage. It's a little bit of a process, but basically you have to leave a few leaves and branches on the plant, and then when you harvest, you put it back under vegetative lighting, which is 18 to 24 hours of light, and it'll begin to grow vegetatively again, and you can reflower it. It's a little bit of a process, and it takes several weeks to a month for it to really bounce back, but you can be done.
Okay. Question coming in from...
Go ahead.
That's all right. Question coming in from Hillbillies here says, I had little worms, like a centipede, kind of a white color, destroy my roots on an outside grow. Is there anything I can do so they don't come back next year?
Yeah, centipedes are pretty bad with the roots. They're larvae, and once they've hatched, there are basically various applications you can make to the soil so that to try to discourage the centipedes. Different enzymes and things that you can add, like hygrozyme, and basically. You soak the soil area with that. There's also nematodes and different kind of predator bugs that you can use to try to discourage them from laying eggs near your plants, because they're not going to travel that far for their food. So you kind of want to just discourage them in the area where your ganja plants are, and that can even be done by using cover crops in other areas of plants that you know they like. Those roots better than the cannabis roots.
Hmm.
That's one thing people don't. And diatomaceous earth, actually, somebody just mentioned Mississippi Hippie, one of the regulars. That's really quite a good thing too, because it's really sharp. On a microscopic level, it has very sharp edges, and so these soft belly bugs, when they crawl over it, it cuts them open and they drain all their guts drain out. And you know, that can be quite satisfying, too, if they're going after your blessed crop.
Yeah. It sounds like a plot from the movie Saw or something. You crawl over this and your guts will drain out.
Well, and the thing is, they're not discouraged. They actually go right to their death, crawling into it and having themselves kind of, all the juice just runs out of them.
Wow.
Because it cuts their shell.
That's amazing. All right. We're speaking with High Times Senior Cultivation Editor Danny Danko in our Cultivator's Corner, taking questions live in our chat room. Next question from OC Normal wants to know, what size LED unit will actually produce in a 3x3 closet?
Hmm. Well, you know, we recommend LED lighting at this time only really for supplemental purposes or during vegetative growth. As far as primary grow light during the flowering period, I would go with high pressure sodium lighting for now, 400, 600, or 1,000 watt light. For a 3x3 space, I would stick to like a 250 or a 400. As far as LEDs go, people are flowering with them and it will produce something. the sizing of LEDs. I know that there's like one called the Stealth LED that's really bright from, I believe, Advanced Nutrients or some kind of, yeah. You know, in vegetative growth, they produce a lot of, close internodal spacing, which is important during that stage. Again, when flowering, I would supplement. I'd use them as supplemental.
Okay. Question from Happy 420 wants to know, how do you use neem oil? Would you recommend it, and is it safe?
Oh, neem oil is totally safe. It's derived from the neem tree.
It stinks, though.
It's extracted from the tree, and it's a good, it's a great pesticide. You want to dilute it in water and put it in a spray bottle. You want to spray the bottoms and the tops of the leaves as well as the surface of the soil, and then you give it some time, and then you want to rinse that off because it's actually going to close off, the airflow to the leaves. So it does kill the bugs, but after a certain point in time, you want to get that off as well using plain water. But it's totally safe, and it is effective against bugs, mostly bugs that crawl on the plants. It's less effective against white flies and things like that, and root bugs. But any kind of things like thrips or spider mites that actually live their life on the leaf of the plant, it's good. Someone else mentioned to warm the oil first, and that's important to help it to dilute because it's pretty thick and viscous, and you really want to you want it to dilute and not clog your sprayer or be too thick.
Okay. We've got a caller calling in on the line, so let's bring them to the conference. 828 area code, you're on the air with Danny Danko.
Hi. My question is about cultivation. I tried calling before, but I got disconnected. I'm trying to find out if I should just cultivate the bud or just pull the whole plant and, trim the bud and use the whole plant and then reseed.
Ideally when you're harvesting a plant, you can use as much of it as possible. The leaves that you trim off, you can use to make hash. Some people use to make oil. Some people use to make edibles. You can harvest the whole plant, or you can do branch by branch. But I guess if I understand your question correctly, you take the plant, trim the bud to whatever your desired level of trim is, and then you hang it to dry. Once it's dry, the buds, you cut those buds off the stalks and put them into jars to cure and sort of sweat some of the moisture that's still inside out. You harvest the whole plant. And if you're asking whether to dry it as a whole plant or in branches, that's kind
I'm asking if I just cultivate just the bud, will it rebud itself, or will that be it?
It won't. I mean, you can re-vegetate the plant and then rebud it, but I think it's much more efficient to just have a new plant. So once you harvest a plant, you're done with that plant, and you start a new one from either clones or seeds, and you go through the whole life cycle. The only reason some people would revegetate a plant isn't so much to bud it. Some people do that, but it's to save the genetics for a future purpose and maybe take a cutting or a clone of that plant to use in a future breeding projects or to keep a mother plant around so you can keep that strain.
Okay. Thanks, everyone, for the questions and the call-ins. I'm going to have to wind this up right now because we're up against the clock. So I want to thank Danny Danko, the senior cultivation editor from High Times Magazine. And again, let's give him the plug for your book. How can they get a hold of it?
The book will be available at headshop.hightimes.com. It'll be out. It's still printing, so it'll be a month or two, but we're going to start doing pre-orders in a little bit, probably by the next time I'm on. And actually, I wanted to say in November when I'm on, we're going to do the full Cannabis Cup rundown because that'll be the 26th, and I'll actually still be in Holland. It's the day after, so we'll have all the scoop on who won and how it went in Amsterdam for the 23rd annual Cannabis Cup.
Yeah, get that.
And I have a grow clinic as well in Rhode Island on October 30th. It's High Times Presents Medical Marijuana Grow Clinic. It's in Warwick, Rhode Island, and that's with me and Nico for several hours, and that should be pretty comprehensive.
Excellent. So next time we speak to you, you'll be in Holland?
I'll be what?
You'll be in Holland the next time we speak to you?
No, I think we're doing... This is September, right?
Oh, that's right. It's not till November.
We're doing, October 22nd, and then the next time after that, it'll be the 26th
okay.
of November.
We'll have to get that hooked up on Skype so we don't have the international call charges. That'll be a good time. Thank you, Danny.
And yeah, we'll do Skype.
And is there an email address people can get a hold of you if they've got more questions that we weren't able to get to?
Yeah, dan@hightimes.com or dannydanko@hightimes.com. It's kind of difficult to answer questions one-on-one like that. It's a lot easier to do it with everybody listening.
That's right. Well, we can bring it up on the next time you're here. Danny Danko joins us on the fourth Friday of every month with our Cultivator's Corner, taking your live chat questions. Coming up here in hour two, more talk. We'll get your calls in, and we're going to talk a little bit more about Prop 19, just because. And go Big Blue, Boise State. For Ganja John and Cannabis Carry, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us here, and until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Take it out one more time. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.